Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Ben.
Hey, what's going on, Jonathan?
Man, you've been here quite a few episodes in a row now. It's almost like you're a regular again.
I'm making up for lost time.
This is good. I like this.
Thanks.
We have Carmella. Hello, Carmella.
Hello.
Good to see you again.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm here as much as Ben anymore.
No, you're always here.
Oh, okay.
And for the first time since episode, 50? 51, maybe?
Something like that.
My brother Bob is here.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Jonathan.
This is weird.
It is.
It's weird to be talking to my brother on my show. But it's nice to have you here in person.
Well, good. I'm glad to be here.
And Bob is my older brother.
And you guys sound similar, so this is going to be confusing for me.
I don't hear it. I was actually thinking Bob sounds kind of like a Muppet.
Aw.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Hey, no problem. Since I'm the king of transitions, I'm just going to pretend I said something to transition to Ben right here. Ben, you were telling me you just bought a new car.
Yeah, I did. So I ended up getting a 2011 Toyota 4Runner.
Oh, so used car.
Yeah.
Smart used.
I've been looking at it for a couple years. My previous car was 10 years old. It was around the time I knew I needed to replace it. I looked at a bunch of different vehicles, and I almost set on one. But every time I would see a 4Runner in traffic, I will always say, that's what I want. I will
really?
Always stare at it. Yeah, that's the one I wanted. And so I found one on sale. I went in the morning before work. Test drove it. I almost signed the papers, and I told the guy, you know what? I just needed some time to think it over.
Did you check with your wife before you went in there?
I did not. Well, I told her that I was going to...
We can see where this story is
I told her I was going to test drive, which was true. I wasn't planning on buying it when I went there, but then I fell in love with it. It was like, I got to have this truck. But then I said, you know what? Let me take some time and think it over. So a couple hours later, I leave the dealership. I'm on my way into work. As I'm exiting off of the highway, my car cuts off. Just... randomly, the engine just dies.
Oh, no.
So I'm at the light. It took me. I was able to restart it, but at that moment, to my mind, I said, "This is God telling me that I need to buy this truck because my car just cut off."
Because that's when God talks to you.
That's when God talks
when your
to
car
you.
Car right? cuts off on a bridge.
Yeah, exactly. Because I told my wife I test drove it. She was like, "I don't think you should buy it." And then I called her back. I was like, "Guess what? My car just cut off. No lie." So I went back that afternoon. I agreed. I bought the car, but I had to finish my paperwork. So they let me take the truck home and let me come back later because I told them I had to pick up my kids and all that. So my truck is parked in the driveway. My wife pulls up, was like, "You bought that truck and didn't tell me." I was like, "Well, it's not mine yet. I still have to do some paperwork, but I wanted you to see it and all that." You know, so I had to sit and justify to my wife why this was a good purchase for the family. And the negotiation on the couch at house, my wife, was longer than the negotiation at the dealership to buy.
And you had to sign more forms, too.
I had to sign more forms. And it was much more expensive at home because I had to agree to a number of other things to compensate.
So you know, now you're stuck watching reruns of The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Well, no, it's actually worse than that. I had to agree to sign up for a Disney trip in January.
So
that sounds awesome. That.
With a 2-year-old?
Yeah.
Next time I take Sebastian, it'll be the first time he does it when he can walk for himself. And I'm wondering what that's going to be like.
Yeah.
Because the last one was exhausting for me.
Yeah.
Exhausting. Well, Ben, glad you have a new vehicle. Glad
Thanks.
You're proud of your 4Runner.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Love that for you. And in a long line of bad transitions, it's time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to
warm it up, Chris.
Hey guys, we're really excited to announce a new sponsor for Warm It Up Chris. Our new sponsor is SpendLittleTravelBig.com. So, question for you. Are you planning to do some traveling this year? Why not let our friends at SpendLittleTravelBig.com help you out? The folks at SpendLittleTravelBig are warheads just like yourself. I appreciate that. And they want to help you have the best trip at the lowest price. They are experts at beating advertised airfares as well as helping you maximize your travel points. And they can be counted on to help you plan the best trips possible. while keeping your itinerary super convenient. While we're talking about it, you should ask them about their special negotiated rates at Disney's deluxe resorts in LA, Orlando, and Oahu. Remember, if you're going to travel, spend little, travel big will make it easier, cheaper, nicer, and just plain better. That's a promise. No takebacks. Check them out at spendlittletravelbig.com. For your Warm It Up Chris question, I have pulled a list of the top 10 accounts on Twitter based on number of followers. So, I have the top 10 most followed accounts on Twitter. I want to see how many you can name. We're going to start with Ben, and we will go around clockwise. All right, Ben, you are up first.
All right, I'm going to go with the obvious, Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber is number 2 with 88 million.
Yep.
I'll go with Kim K, Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian is not on the list. She's actually number 11.
Oh.
I know, you were just off.
Just there.
Just off. Yeah. Bobby Bob.
I'm going to go with J-Law, Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, not on the list. We have two strikes, people. Two strikes. Ben, your perfect record so far.
I did not think at all that I would be leading at this point.
With Justin Chris, Bieber.
With Justin Bieber.
Of all people. Ben is a big Biebs fan.
He's a Belieber.
Belieber.
Babe.
You know, he's only like 22 years old. It's amazing.
Still?
Yeah.
He's been 22 for like 6 years.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to go with Taylor Swift.
Number 3, 81 million. Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay. Nobody calls her Tay-Tay.
The Rock called her Tay-Tay on Lip Sync Battle. I'm there.
That's hilarious.
All right, Carmella, redeem yourself.
With Twitter, I have no idea. CNN.
Negative. CNN not on the list. Mr. Bob.
Kaylee Cuoco.
Negative. Kaylee Cuoco is not on the list. Ben, you are going to, if you get this right, it will be an insurmountable lead.
Katy Perry.
Number 1 on the list.
Oh, wow.
Katy Perry. I would assume you guys have seen a trend here at this point. So far, correct. We have number 1, 2, and 3. Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, and Taylor Swift. Carmella, over to you.
Kanye West.
Not on the list. Bob, over to you.
Following the trend, I'll go with Justin Timberlake.
Number 10 on the list. Justin Timberlake, 57 million followers. Katy Perry had 93 million followers, by the way.
Ugh.
Oh, and the source for this is a website called friendsorfollowers.com. That's where I got this information today. All right, one more time around. Ben, you have a perfect score so far.
Yeah, it's getting tough now, though.
Can you go 4 for 4?
Let's see. I'm going to go with Bruno Mars.
Not on the list. Ugh. There's some softballs out there that you guys are just blanking on right now. We'll see if anybody can open up. Carmella, this is your last chance.
Beyonce?
Yeah, that's a good guess.
It is a good guess, but it's wrong.
Wow.
I don't know why Beyonce, but she must not tweet a lot, I guess, because she's not on there. Bob, can you go 2 for 4?
Following the trend, I'm going to say Miley Cyrus.
Not Miley Cyrus. Bob finishes 1 for 4. Ben, you were the king of Twitter on Trivial Warfare today, such as it were.
There you go.
All right. Going in reverse order, Justin Timberlake was 10. Twitter was 9 at 57 million.
Wow.
If I'm not crazy, when you sign up for a Twitter account, they automatically set you to follow Twitter.
So that means people are unfollowing Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's Twitter got to say?
Yeah, sure.
Twitter updates.
Ellen DeGeneres, number 8, with 62 million.
Yeah.
Probably because she posts funny clips from her show.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of that. Number 7, Lady Gaga.
Yep.
Her screen name is Joanne, by the way. Just Joanne. That's what it says when you look at her account.
Okay.
Number
it's
funny 6, YouTube. YouTube has 64 million followers. Number 5, Rihanna has 66 million followers.
Yeah.
And last but not least, the one I'm most surprised did not get named, number 4, Barack Obama. Barack Obama has 78 million followers.
I remember when Ashton Kutcher and CNN were racing to a million, the first 2 million followers.
Really?
Yeah, so that's why I had said CNN, because I remember that story, and I guess that's no longer the truth.
The pop stars have kind of taken over.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, that was your Warm It Up Chris question. Today's episode is going to be Carmella and Bob versus Jonathan. Can Big Brother, with help, take on Little Brother and show his trivia chops? We will find out. Ben is hosting. It is time to play the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is 6 rounds long, 3 questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round 3 that's worth 20 points, and when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys. Let's get started.
All right. So I got a couple shout outs before we start.
Shout outs.
Want to say thank you to Chris Hollister. He actually provided us with the list of questions for today.
It's also kind of like a backdoor way of saying if these questions suck, blame Chris.
Only you thought that.
Well, that's immediately what I thought of.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
He's not denying it.
Yeah. Chris also informed me when he sent me the list that many of the questions you'll hear today were actually listener-submitted questions.
Ooh.
And most of them in particular are written by TWA member Brianna Garten.
Yes.
So, Brianna, thank you so much for submitting the questions. It makes our jobs a whole lot easier here.
Knowing Brianna, I'm feeling like we're about to hit a lot of hard science questions.
Yes.
Just, this might not be my best show. Gonna throw that out there as a disclaimer.
Well, let's get into it.
All right,
round one, question one, category is music. What Grammy and Academy Award winner was a background singer for the Ronettes for the song Be My Baby?
Wow. Say it again, please.
What Grammy and Academy Award winner was a background singer for the Ronettes for the song Be My Baby?
You ever think that the Ronettes sounds like the background singers for a guy named Ron? It's like, I'm Ron and these are my Ronettes.
Yep.
Not funny.
Not really.
Seemed funny to me. Darn.
Maybe if we each had like 5 drinks, it would have been hilarious.
That's when I'm at my funniest.
Yeah.
When everybody listening to me is drunk.
Well, that's when everybody's at their funniest.
Right now, I'm just trying to think of people that have won both Grammys and Oscars. That's where I'm at, because I have no idea when the Ronettes were.
No, I've got the right range of years, but I mean, the person could be any age during after that. Like, Mariah Carey, probably not an Oscar winner. What was the bad movie she did?
Honey.
That's it, yes.
She was in Precious, too. It was a minor role.
Also trying to figure out if it's an Academy Award winner for acting or an Academy Award winner for, like, singing.
Man.
I know. It's a big range of people it could be. John Williams. You can laugh out loud. Give me the laugh, Ben. Doggone.
John Williams.
Are you guys going to lock in?
No.
No. You want to talk out loud.
I really do.
I'm thinking the same thing.
You need soundproof chambers in here.
No, that would defeat the purpose.
You just turn them on and off.
Feel free to pay for that. I'm not even close to an answer right now, honestly.
Neither are we.
I'm really struggling with this question. I bet it's going to be pretty obvious when we hear it, too. All right, I've locked in an answer that's almost certainly wrong, but it's a valid guess.
All right.
I told you what I thought, okay. But I only know two.
I think the song is be my baby. Come on, don't say maybe. You know that song at all? I think it's
probably.
I think it's an older song. I could be wrong, but that's the song that's Be My Baby. And that's what I'm thinking. So I think it's an older song, but I don't know who would be.
Did Aretha Franklin ever win an Oscar?
I know she's got a Grammy.
She's got like 17 of them. 20-something.
See, I was thinking of somebody like Donna Summers.
Okay.
Someone like that. But I don't know.
Well, the only two people that I know have won both Grammys and Oscars are Cher and Barbara Streisand. And I know that's probably not it. I'm okay with Donna Summer, so we have an answer. I mean,
I'm good with it.
All right, Donna Summer.
I'm pretty sure it's the I think it's the same song you were doing, but the part that I remember is, be my little baby, baby, my darling, be my baby now.
Yes,
oh,
same song.
Oh, that one. So I'm putting that in the late 60s in the height of Motown, before disco. And I was looking for somebody who would have been an active singer, but kind of getting their start and not really popular yet. And I ended up saying Cher.
All right. The correct answer is Cher.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so pumped. Woo!
You had it. I did. Mm-hmm. Because she talks all the time. She's like, I'm an Oscar winner.
when you said it, you said the two names that I had come down to. Literally, Cher and Streisand were the only two people I was coming up with that met the criteria and the time component. And I picked the one most likely, I think.
Right.
So, wow. Cool. That was a tough one. Good question. That's a cool question, though.
It is.
I like it.
All right. Your second question of the round is in sports. Name the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher who won the most games in a season for a last place team.
Boy.
That's a lot of question. That I have no idea.
Shall I repeat it?
Please. Yes.
Name the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher who won the most games in a single season for a last place team.
Boy, this is an obscure answer that I'm coming up with.
Well, wow. That's a last place team, so.
If this is the answer, I'm going to be shocked, but let me think for a minute.
What's funny is last time I was on this show, I was asked a pitcher question. I completely blanked on pitchers and couldn't name a single pitcher.
I hope you don't do that now.
Oh, you've been on the show twice. You were in the comics episode.
Yeah.
Three times.
Tournament.
Because I took on Ramona.
Oh, you won a game. That's right, yeah.
By the way, I'm the wrong person to ask about anything like this. So
yeah, I saw Carmella twirling the hair. I'm like, okay, I think she's checked out of this question.
Like, I have no idea. Like, I don't even have anything I could help with.
I think she's mentally reviewing her grocery list right now.
Is that a woman joke?
Not at all. I figured everybody's got to go get groceries sometime.
Yeah.
I think I know the team, and I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not saying a guy flippantly. I've written down my answer, but it's too obscure to be right, I feel.
I know one of those names that you wrote down.
You know one of those names
down? I know that one. I know Cy Young.
You know Cy Young. Okay. I'm just writing down pitchers that I think played for bad teams that I know are good pitchers. Jonathan's right. It's really random, but I know these two. I know Randy Johnson and Nolan Ryan are in the Hall of Fame. I know Cy Young's in the Hall of Fame, too.
Right. I know Nolan Ryan, by the way.
I know Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine because I was a Braves fan. I'm wearing a Braves shirt. I'm a Braves fan.
He's wearing a Braves shirt.
I know those two, and I know they're good pitchers, and I was wondering if maybe they were still pitching. But I think when they came on was when the team started winning. But just because I know he's a good pitcher, and I know he's... I'm going to go with Randy Johnson.
I'm fine with that, Randy Johnson.
Okay.
All right.
So if it was a Brave, then the two names that came to mind, because I thought about the Braves. They were in last place a lot of times.
Right.
And I came up with the Gaylord Perry and Phil Niekro. But I feel like it's a Washington Senators pitcher. The Senators were in last place a lot of years. Come to think of it, no. Yeah, the Senators is where I was leaning, and I was trying to remember the guy, because there was a really good pitcher on the Senators when they were terrible. And the name that I was coming up with, and it might not even be the right guy, but I came up with Grover Cleveland Alexander. He's one of the top 10 most winningest pitchers of all time, but that's the name that I came up with.
All right. So if I say 72 Phillies, would that ring a bell to either of you?
Oh, 72 Phillies. That would have to be Steve Carlton.
Steve Carlton is the correct answer. He actually, that year, he won 27 games. He led the league in wins, ERA, starts, complete games, innings pitched, and strikeouts all in that year.
Steve Carlton's an amazing pitcher. I didn't have a good connection with him as a Phillies last place team, though, so I wasn't getting that. That's shot in the dark territory right there.
Yep. Okay. Your last question in the round is in geography.
Or geography.
You know, for normal people.
For us.
Whatever. All right. What country is closest to the South Pole?
I'm locked in.
Okay.
What's the, what's right at the bottom of South America?
Is that
Australia?
No.
No, not a South America. I may not be good at geography, but I knew that.
I think Peru comes up against it, but I'm trying to remember what's at the very bottom. But also, I don't even know if that's right. I don't know.
Well, see, I don't know if it's South America. I mean, Australia. I don't know if there's something south of Australia that was, if I'm looking at a globe, that's what looks to be the furthest south to me.
Right.
Or in Africa, it would be South Africa.
Right. Australia just seems so easy, though. Doesn't mean it's not right.
No, I think there's a small country or something
right
south,
below
but
it.
I don't know what it is.
Is New Zealand above or below Australia?
I don't know.
I know it's to the side of it, but I don't know if it's above it or below it. I think New Zealand's above it.
I do, too. I don't know what the tip of South America is.
I think it's like Argentina or something like that. I don't know. I don't have anything better than Australia.
I'm okay with Australia.
Australia.
All right.
I think Tasmania is south of Australia, but I didn't go there. I'm certain that it's the tip of South America. And if memory serves, the two countries that run down together are Argentina, which is the big one, and Chile, which is a small, skinny one. And I believe Chile curls underneath. And even if it didn't...
Oh, you're right. It is.
Even if it didn't, I think there's an island south of that that belongs to Chile, which is very close to the South Coast.
I think it belongs to Argentina, but...
If it does, then I'd be wrong because I said Chile.
All right. The correct answer is Chile.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
I think I'm bad luck.
Going into round two, Jonathan has a 20-0 lead.
All right. Round two, question one, your category is the Ivy League.
All right.
What Ivy League institute of higher education is the first to take the name university? So which was the first to have university in its title?
Oy.
And it has a hint here. Do you want the hint?
Do you guys want the hint?
Sure.
It is not Harvard.
Oh.
Oh.
So that eliminates one out of 12 or many in the Ivy League.
I personally... not good at Ivy League questions, just for the record. So I'm just going to write one down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll make sure next show I'm on, we're going to ask some SEC questions.
I am locked in.
So I was thinking of two. I was thinking of Cornell or Stanford. Stanford's in California. Cornell is in New York.
Yeah, I'm good with either answer. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So it's coin flip. Which one do I want to go with? I would think that probably Cornell would have gotten bigger faster just because of population area.
Right.
So how do you feel about Cornell?
Yeah, if I'm going to lean one way, I was going to lean that way.
Okay.
I didn't want to talk you out of a right answer again.
And if it's wrong, we can blame me anyway. We're going to say Cornell.
All right.
My stab in the dark was Columbia.
All right. You're correct. Ivy League school is Penn, University of Pennsylvania.
University of Pennsylvania.
1779 is when it took the name university.
It is Columbia University, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Good. It would have been really dumb to choose one that didn't have a university on it.
By the way, Stanford is known as Ivy League of the West, but it is not an Ivy League.
It was Ivy League.
I'd always thought of it as Ivy League. Maybe it's because they call it the Ivy League of the West.
It's darn near better than the Ivy League at this point.
It's a very
Stanford's
good school.
Amazing.
All right. Your next question is in world history.
Okay.
What was the name of the monarch that funded Christopher Columbus's journeys to the New World?
I'm locked in.
It's Isabella and Ferdinand.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So, Isabella and Ferdinand.
Right. If you only wanted one, I would have said Ferdinand, but I'd say Ferdinand and Isabella.
So the answer, and I actually questioned when I looked at it, the answer written here is Queen Isabella. But I'm certain that it was a joint funding by both of those monarchs. Because one was, they weren't married, right?
They were married.
They were married.
They were the rulers of Spain.
I'll accept that
answer. I don't think Queen Isabella outranked King Ferdinand.
I'll accept the answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we got one.
Yay, we're on the board.
All right.
Your last question in the round is movie quotes.
Oh, good. Because I'm great at those.
What iconic 80s character says, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. So I want the name of the character, not the actor. What iconic 80s character says, life moves pretty fast.
We'll lock in.
Please, read it again.
Guess you don't want me to read it again. What iconic 80s character says, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
It sounds like a voiceover from The Breakfast Club, but I don't even know any of those character names. So
blasphemy.
Gonna miss it if it's one of them. Iconic 80s characters. I bet it's Ferris Bueller. I'm just gonna go Ferris Bueller.
I hate you. Right. Ferris Bueller is what we said.
Mm-hmm. You took a day off, Ferris Bueller.
I instantly wrote it down and everything, and I was like, oh, Jonathan's not going to know.
I certainly didn't get it from remembering it in the movie, I'll tell you that.
But, you know, the local sports station has been doing a commercial, and they play that clip. So I've heard that clip like
once
a day.
Do they really?
Yeah, I've been hearing that clip once a day for the last 3-4 months. So,
wow.
Yeah, I knew that too.
Okay.
I was literally... You heard it, Breakfast Club, and then the next thing that came to mind was that, and it just felt like it fit really well together.
Very nice. Want to do a score update?
Yeah, after the second round, it is 40-20.
All right. Better.
Jonathan is in the lead.
All right. Round 3, question 1, your category is modern literature.
Modern literature.
I'm going to be disappointed if both of you don't get this right. Whoa. You should know this. Okay.
Sex by Madonna. No?
No.
No. Darn.
Which character did J.K. Rowling name after a bee?
After a bee?
Bee is in the insect.
And you would be upset if we didn't get this?
Yeah. Only because it's...
Pretty sure Luna Lovegood is not a bee.
Only because I know that both of you have read all the books, and I haven't read any of them. There's no way in heck that I would ever... even get close to this answer, and I feel like you guys should be able to get this because
I read them all again this year.
If it was after an insect, I could lock in immediately, but after a bee, I still got more thinking to do. I don't know the names of any bees, and so literally, I'm just looking for a name that might seem bee-like. By the way, Ben. There are hundreds of characters in these stories. Hundreds and hundreds.
I don't care. Get it right. One for the Gipper.
She has a list of the original 40, and it's the original 40 characters of names that she wrote down. Like, these are the names that are going to be characters. And that was 40 of them.
Like, Dudley Dursley. No, not working for me there.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. I'm wondering if it's like a pet bee that had a name, or if it's like a species of bee, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you ever met anybody with a pet bee?
Well, there are people who raise bees, you know, beekeepers.
Smallest leash ever.
Hurry up and write something down, Jonathan.
I'm sorry, but I've literally gone through over 100 characters while thinking, and I'm not...
Oh, I'm sitting here and writing names. Yeah. So...
I mean, I'm like getting to Dumbledore's brother and sister over here. So give me a break. I don't think it's Neville.
Could be Trevor. Trevor the Toad.
There's some that are obviously named after, like Crabbe and Goyle, you know? They're obviously named for the way they sound, not... There's one name that stands out, but it's not a bee.
Yeah.
Book 2. I feel like I'm throwing in the towel because I could sit here and think of characters for another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like any of them is going to be better than the one that I just circled. So I've locked in.
We've been sitting here writing names down. Rita Skeeter was an animagus who turned into an insect, but she turned into a beetle. And Skeeter makes me think of, you know, skittering, which would be a beetle-like activity. Then, you know, Dumble and Bumble.
I feel like we're grasping at straws.
We are, because I can't think of anything. Snape.
See, the one I added was Dobby.
Dobby.
Is that
Gilderoy Lockhart?
That sounded as good as anything. But I have no idea.
I wrote down Snape, Hermione, Voldemort, Nagini, Weasley, Scrimgeour.
Argus Filch.
Argus Filch. Mrs. Norris.
Gryffindor doesn't sound like a bee.
Firenze.
Fluffy.
Fluffy!
I got nothing, Bob. Just nothing.
Well, sounds like you got a whole lot.
A whole lot of nothing.
Carmella and I, between us, could probably name all the characters in the books within 15
Amelia
minutes
Bones,
or so.
Susan Bones.
And I don't think even if we had the whole list in front of us, we would know the answer.
No.
No. I'm good with wherever you're leaning.
Just because it sounds funny, I'm going to go with Dumbledore and hope there's a bumblebee.
So I didn't actually think of Dumbledore in those terms. That's a pretty good answer. Mm-hmm. It could totally be that. That's better. I ended up going Rita Skeeter. Skeeter is obviously mosquito, but
she's the only one who turned into an insect in the whole series.
Skeeter's close to a bee. So I said Rita Skeeter.
The 18th century English word for bumblebee is Dumbledore.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Good job.
Rowling says she wanted to associate his name with bees because she imagines him wandering around the castle humming to himself.
Good job. So
I'm impressed.
I'm proud of one of you.
Yay, Ben's right. Proud of me.
Shall we get back to the game?
Probably.
All right. Your second question in the round is a category of saints.
Saints!
Go marching in.
I was already started before I realized it wasn't science. I was revved up.
It's an old English word meaning bee.
He's like saints, and I'm like, sorry.
I was like, why was he so excited about me saying saints? All right. Who is the patron saint of traveling?
I guarantee our mother knows this, Bob.
I will guarantee it.
You guys are Catholic?
Yes.
You grew up Catholic.
So did I. Nice. So
I went ahead and locked in.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's St. Christopher. I'm good with that. My mom sent me a St. Christopher thing for me to put on my visor in my car. So pretty sure it's St. Christopher.
I wrote down St. Christopher.
The correct answer is St. Christopher.
I think I've talked to Chris about that before. I think he's like, my patron saint is the patron saint of travel.
And he has no sense of direction.
That's why he needs a saint.
I love you, Chris.
Your last question in the round is presidential speeches.
Okay.
You want to say science for that one?
I almost did. Speeches!
All right. Name two out of the three countries that President George W. Bush described as the axis of evil.
George W. Bush.
Yes.
I feel like I'm wrong with what I've written down because, well, I'll let you guys answer. I'm locked in.
The reason I said I'm pretty sure Iran is one of them is there's a group of comedians that are either from the Middle East or Middle Eastern descent, and they did the Axis of Evil tour. And one of the guys I remember is Maz Rabani, who's Persian. He's actually from Iran. So, and I'm pretty sure that they did all that because they're from these countries.
Okay.
The reason I wrote down Iraq was because we were at war with them at the time. And
Iraq makes sense. Yeah. Iran was the one I wasn't sure about, but I'm good with it.
So we're going to say Iraq and Iran.
I said Iraq and Iran. Iraq because we ended up invading, so I figure he didn't like them very much. And Iran's the one that feels wrong if one of them's wrong, because I've always seen them. They felt like a threat. They've always felt like a problem for us as the U.S., but I don't remember a specific... No, actually, no, it does fit, though, because that was the weapons of mass destruction. Oh, well, they're not in Iraq. They're in Iran now, right? So... I said Iraq and Iran. I don't feel great. The other name that came to mind is Jordan, for what it's worth.
All right. So the correct answers here are Iraq, Iran.
Oh, good.
And the third country is North Korea.
Oh, North Korea is so obvious. Well, we got it right, though.
Yeah.
Both of us. Nice.
I went with the comedy route, but, you know, hey, as long as we got there.
You got there. That's what's important.
I thought you were going with the axis of awesome for a second there. So going into the midpoint, it is 60-50 in what has turned into a tight game.
Yeah, you guys catching up. Dumbledore helped out a lot there.
Yes.
All right. So your midpoint question, this is going to be interesting. Category is comic books.
Okay.
Okay.
For 4 points each, Name the five original members of the Teen Titans that appeared in The Brave and the Bold number 54 in 1964.
Right now, I'm just writing down all the Teen Titans I can think of.
And while you guys are writing, I want to kind of say this because I don't think I had a chance to say it in the last episode. I want to just further commend people who write in, who bring us, give us questions to ask, because it is tremendously difficult to come up with a bank of questions on an episode. Until you do it, it seems easy. Like, you hear the questions on the show and it seems like, when I first started listening, I'm like, oh, okay, this is easy. And then when I was asked to write a bank of questions, I was like, holy crap, this is really hard.
Yeah, it's so, not easy.
By the way, Bob used to collect Teen Titans in the 80s, so I'm not really happy about this question.
Can I ask a question?
You want to read it?
No. I was going to ask, will you accept either their code name or their name?
I only have their code names.
Four or five?
Four.
No, we asked for five.
4 points each, so five.
Oh, you asked for five. Okay, I thought you were asked for four out of the five.
All right, I'm going to lock in.
I got it. So the ones I'm sure about, I know Robin.
Right, I agree.
I know Kid Flash.
Agree with that one.
I'm positive on Wonder Girl. Her name would be Donna Troy. Roy Harper was Green Arrow's sidekick, and I believe that when they formed, they called him Speedy.
Yeah, his name was Speedy when he was a sidekick. He later became Red Arrow and then Arsenal, but I think at the time he was Speedy.
At the time he was Speedy. Mm-hmm. And the last one, I think, was Aqualad.
I agree with that.
I think that was his name. I know the character. I can't remember his name, but I think it was, I think when they formed, he went by Aqualad.
Okay, so you want to say Robin, Kid Flash, Donna Troy, Wonder Girl,
Speedy,
and then Aqualad. That's what we're going to go with.
That's what we're going to go with.
So, oddly enough, I was wrong about which one you wanted the name on. I couldn't, at the very end, I removed Cyborg and added Kid Flash because I realized in a flash that I forgot the Flash. And it was, I was like, oh, maybe he couldn't remember the name of that guy. So, anyway, I said Kid Flash, I said Robin, I said Wonder Girl, I said Aqualad, and I said Speedy. They're all right here if you want to see them.
So we matched.
Right. We matched. So, the correct answers are Robin, Wonder Girl, Kid Flash, Speedy, and Aqualad.
Yes.
You both got all five.
So there was a, when the Teen Titans did a reboot in the early 2000s or 90s or something like that, and it was the Robin, Arrowette, Superboy, Impulse, and somebody Red Tornado lineup.
Right. Yes.
They did a crossover kind of situation where they had to save the old Teen Titans or something like that. And each one was paired up with the version of them from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started remembering them, because I started out by writing Starfire, Cyborg, Beast Boy, and those. And I'm like, no, this does not feel right. And once I realized, wait, match them up, that's when I was able to get back to the originals.
See, what you've got there with Starfire.
It's the 80s.
The 80s. That's the classic 80s lineup, the one that most people are familiar with.
Was Raven on that team?
Yes.
Yeah, those are actually all the names I wrote down, other than Superboy and Kid Flash.
Right. Right. Those are the ones that people are familiar with. What you just named with Arrowette and Wonder Girl was Young Justice.
Oh, that's right. Those are the ones that did the crossover.
Those are the ones that did the crossover.
Young Justice was a great comic for a couple of years at least. All right, we both got 20 there, so going into the second half, it is 80-70 with Jonathan having a slim lead.
All right.
Honestly, the lead is based on Cher.
Yeah.
Cher and one other one. I can't remember what the other one was. All right, guys, that's the end of the first half. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
Round four, question one. Category is beer.
Beer me!
Hashtag random.
Hashtag Simpsons.
All right. German laws restrict beer to only three ingredients. Name them.
I'm locked in.
First three things I thought were hops, barley, and water.
You know, I was on that path too. I knew it was a grain, and I figured it was barley. I know it's hops.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume water.
I get the liquid somewhere. So hops, barley, and water.
Yep, I'm good with it.
All right, hops, barley, and water.
I am nervous about one thing. I said barley, hops, and water. I know beer is barley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeast is in there somewhere because it has to ferment. I don't know if the yeast is in the barley or the hops. I'm worried that water is not included and one of them's yeast. But I said barley, hops, and water.
That's a good point.
So All right, Ben, what is it?
Correct answer is hops, barley, and yeast.
Darn it.
Oh.
They don't consider water. See, that's BS, because water is one of the ingredients.
Yeah.
Doggone it. So neither one of us gets credit
for
it.
Sad face.
I think we both protest that.
A little bit, yeah.
Can't make beer without water.
Right. Somebody get shenanigans on speed dial in here. We call them once an episode. So
Ben was pointing out earlier, there must have been some Irish guy named Shenanigans back in the day who was a big troublemaker.
Yeah. Oh, curse you, Shenanigans.
There's Shenanigans again.
It's always trouble when Shenanigans shows up.
Yep. All right.
Was he friends with Mulligan? Because he didn't think
maybe.
He probably had a chef brother named Bennigan. Just going to sit that right there.
Man, that's a dated joke. Oh. Bennigan's doesn't exist anywhere
loved
anymore.
Loved Bennigan's.
That's great.
Bennigan's had some great food,
Monte
man.
Monte Cristo, man.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes.
Deep fried
sandwich.
I've never gotten another one like that either. Every time I see a Monte Cristo, I try it, hoping to recreate Bennigan's. None of them are as good.
All right. Question two of the round. Your category is science.
Science!
Cheats and states and speeches. Oh.
Thank you, Marley. I appreciate that. Again, your category is science.
Science!
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 What is the actual name for the organ also known as the voice box?
You didn't spell it right, but that's good.
Are you locked in?
Yeah.
Locked in.
It's the larynx.
I said larynx.
Correct answer is larynx.
Yay. Is it considered an organ?
Obviously.
I had never heard it called an organ before. It's funny they have an organ making sounds.
Ah. But
Nobody really?
No.
No.
It's the one sound that WWE wrestlers don't want to hear is nothing.
Seriously. Tell me about it.
All right, your last question of the round is in government. What former Saturday Night Live cast member was elected to the U.S. Senate in 2009?
Locked in.
It's Al Franken.
Al Franken,
yep.
That's correct. I think Chris left something off because it says for 2 bonus points will state elected this person, but it didn't put the state here, so I didn't know if you had the bonus points.
It's Minnesota.
There's no bonus points.
Minnesota, damn it!
No.
The thing was, is the first thought I had, oh, it's Stuart Smalley. No, it's...
Yeah.
Like, no, what's his name?
You talk about a contested election. That was one of the ones where they literally, the final results changed like twice. There was just all kinds of calls of cheating. Like, oh, we discovered these 10 votes sitting under a table, and this box had a box full of votes in this place, and...
So,
yeah, that one was a weird one. After the fourth round, it is 100-90 with yeah. Jonathan maintaining that little tiny lead.
Yeah, I think you guys
get that. Something wrong.
I'm trying not to.
Round 5, question 1, category is American history.
Okay.
What Union camp, located in Virginia and named after a founding father, was referred to as Freedom Fortress during the Civil War?
Ugh.
Gonna get this one wrong. I've locked in.
Okay, what's your number one?
Jefferson's my number one.
Okay.
One, it's in Virginia. Two, it seems to ring a bell. It could be the wrong bell, but it seems to ring a bell.
Bob had his bell wrong.
Ring my bell.
T-shirts, I had my bell wrong on Trivial Warfare.
That's not bad.
Ding, ding,
pretty
ding.
Good. That'll be our number 2 seller behind So Much Better Cool.
So, but the other one, with Young Jefferson, the other one that you wrote down that I thought, just because they called it Freedom Fortress, so Washington, you know, who's the first president, you know, he was the general during the Revolutionary War.
I can't argue that.
Yeah, but I like Jefferson for the answer, so it would be what, Camp Jefferson?
Camp Jefferson. You know, the one you wrote down, Franklin. Camp Franklin.
Sounds like a camp. Yeah. We need Chris for this question. He would know, I hope.
I'm good with any of those.
Well, we need to narrow it down.
I'm good.
Meet my non-committal brother.
I'm good with Washington. I'm good with Jefferson. I'm actually good with Franklin. I narrowed it down.
To the 3 that we already had. All right.
My first thought was Jefferson.
Yeah. No, I get that. And he's the one who wrote the Declaration of Independence, so I can understand them going with Freedom Fortress, naming it after him. So we'll say Camp Jefferson.
There was a lot to think about in this question. Yeah. Not the least of which is that Chris is obsessed with the musical Hamilton right now.
Oh, man. I didn't even...
And so, in the musical Hamilton, Hamilton obviously is a major character, as are George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison, who are all founding fathers, all from Virginia. Hamilton is not from Virginia. Monroe is considered a founding father sometimes, even though he was one of the youngest founding fathers.
Right.
Part of me wondered if it could be Monroeville, because I've heard of a Monroeville. That's a city somewhere.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I don't know if it's in Virginia, though. I kind of associate it with Alabama for some reason. At the end, I figured if it's in Virginia, it was probably a Virginian founding father. So I said Camp Madison. I wouldn't be shocked to find out it's Camp Hamilton, though, because Hamilton was a known abolitionist.
Right.
So there's associations with freedom there, too. So I said Madison.
All right. Your correct answer is Fort Monroe.
Monroe.
Fort Monroe. Yeah.
Fort Monroe. It's located in Hampton, Virginia.
Okay.
I have heard of Fort Monroe.
Well, there you go.
That's the area of Virginia I'm from the Norfolk area, which is near Hampton.
Uh-oh. I am surprised that it was Monroe is the one founding father from Virginia, not in the musical Hamilton. So I was not going to go away from Hamilton for that answer.
You read a little too far into the question.
Somebody else wrote it, but Chris selected it.
That's true. Bob actually, one of the things he wrote down was Monroe.
Yeah, but
it was on my list.
You'd have to say Fort Monroe.
Fort Monroe.
Right. One of us was going to be right. We would have said Camp Monroe.
No.
Yeah.
All right, Ben.
All right. This next question was submitted by TWA member Lucas Clausen.
Thanks, Lucas.
So thank you, Lucas.
Awesome. Great job, Lucas.
Okay, so your next question is in the category of TV.
Okay.
What actor was living in completely different TV worlds while simultaneously acting on HBO's Big Love and AMC's Breaking Bad?
Big Love? What the hell's Big Love?
I know he's in Big Love.
I don't know what Big Love is.
Was he in Breaking Bad?
I don't watch either show.
Oh, awesome!
That's my brother. You know, it's pathetic.
What's pathetic, other than this question?
Our
attempts at this question, I mean.
I'm so pathetic that I'm just trying to name Walter White's actor. That's all I'm trying to accomplish right now.
Oh, I did that.
Because that's literally the only actor I know from any of it. But I can't think of his name. I'm like, it's that guy from Malcolm in the Middle. What's his name? I don't know his name. I'm so bad at TV.
He was also on Seinfeld.
I'm better at old TV than I am at current TV.
Yeah.
I've got to have this guy's name in my head. Why is it not coming to me?
We're going to lock in.
What's his name?
Well, I can't tell you.
On a positive note, I'm betting that it's not Walter White's guy. But God help me, I can't remember his name. I am completely brain frozen on this guy's name. And I remember it wasn't that long ago when I discovered that he was the guy from Malcolm in the Middle. I don't know his name. Dennis Haysbert found his way into my head, and he's been bothering me now. Like, Dennis something. It's
how rude,
Dennis.
Bothering you.
Get out of here, Dennis Haysbert. Go find Joe Boo and have a drink. The best I got, the closest thing I can have to a real answer. I wrote questions for Better Call Saul the other day, and I know Michael McKean's in Better Call Saul, which is a spinoff from Breaking Bad, so I'm going to say Michael McKean.
Okay. I know Bill Paxton is the lead on Big Love, and I know Bryan Cranston.
Cranston's his name.
Is the lead for Breaking Bad.
Duh.
But Bob doesn't, and I agree with Bob. We don't really think it's going to be the lead from either show. So I wrote down Bryan Cranston's sidekick on the show, a guy who plays Jesse, Aaron Paul. That's what we locked in with.
I don't know who that is.
All right, the correct answer is Aaron Paul.
Oh, yes! Good job, Carmella! Wow.
Last question of the round is in science.
Didn't we just have a science question?
Recently.
Dadgummit.
What is the only rock that floats?
The ones in Monty Python. It's like, what else floats? Little rocks.
Islands in the Stream.
There you go.
That is what we are.
That'll float.
What's in the stream, Jonathan?
I've locked in my... I've locked in my answer.
Thank you.
Right. I'm trying to think of something that's very porous, so a lot of air would be in it. So basalt comes to mind.
That's ironic. That's the question that Bob said obsidian for.
Oh,
it is.
What B word? And he says obsidian.
Bobsidian.
Yes. Thank you.
I was just listening to that episode the other day. It was a really good episode.
It was a lot of fun to record with Ramona. I still say it's a hollow rock.
What do you know of any hollow rocks?
No. I do think it's something like basalt, a porous rock. I'm thinking it's a black rock.
Like obsidian?
Like obsidian.
Bobsidian?
I don't think it's obsidian, but I think it's something.
I don't care. I still like bobsidian. Well, you know, basalt is a lot of what the moon is made out of, and that's very dark. I don't have anything else I can think of other than basalt.
All right. I'm fine with it.
All right, basalt.
I said pumice.
The correct answer is pumice.
Dang it.
I was in the same place. Holy rocks. The pumice is the one that you...
Holy rocks, Batman!
The one that you, like, do your skin with to exfoliate.
Yeah.
It's very porous.
I wouldn't know.
Want to do a score check?
That I get that from my married life. Mm-hmm. It's like, bring me my pumice stone.
That seems like that's a bad impression of her.
Mm-hmm. Fair. All right, after the fifth round, it's 110 to 100. The pumice gave me my lead back after I'd lost it on Aaron Paul, whoever that is.
Stupid pumice stone.
I never would have gotten that.
Round six, question one. Category is geography.
What island is made of basalt and pumice?
In the stream.
The one in the stream. Because that is what we are. No one in between. How can we be wrong? All right. Geography. What is the Santa Clara Valley more popularly known as? Or more commonly known as?
I'm locked in.
Okay.
So, I immediately wrote down Death Valley, but I don't know if that had a different name.
Is it Death Valley, or I was thinking Silicon Valley?
Oh, that could be it. Silicon Valley. Could it be Hidden Valley? They make good ranch.
Oh, awesome.
I don't like ranch, but other people do. So, no, that actually makes sense, because Santa Clara, you know, that's more in the California kind of area.
Right.
So, I'm okay with Silicon Valley.
All right, let's go with Silicon Valley.
First thing I thought of was Silicon Valley, and I locked it in instantly.
Correct answer is Silicon Valley.
I finally got one. Yay!
You've been helping.
All right. Your next question is in the category music. There are three rappers that comprise the Beastie Boys. Name two of them.
You want their actual names or what they are called in the Beastie
Stage
Boys?
Stage names.
Okay.
Oh, if I give a real name of one of them, I want credit for it. I'm sorry.
No, stage names.
No, seriously. I know one of their real names and I want credit for it because he's one of the rappers in the Beastie Boys.
I'll give you credit for it.
I know one. One. Of course, we have to do two.
I can only name one Beastie Boys song.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn?
I was going to say Sabotage.
Oh, Sabotage.
But that's it.
What about Brass Monkey?
Fight for Your Right to Party.
Oh, wait. Okay, I could have named Fight for Your Right to Party.
No Brass Monkey?
No Brass Sleep Monkey. Till.
Oh, I heard that before.
Monkey.
And how old is that?
80s, man.
Yeah.
I just remember, you know, at that time I was in Detroit as a child, and everybody's a Pistons fan, but you always had those guys that always listen to the Beastie Boys that wear the Celtics jackets walking down the street. It's like, what are you doing?
All right, I'm locked in.
The only one I could think of is A-Rock, and his name's Adam, I know that, but I can't think of anybody else.
I don't know.
Trey Cool is from Green Day. I got nothing.
I don't. If you got one, that's better than what I've got.
But we need two, so...
Make up something. T-Bird.
A-Rock and B-Rock.
B-Rock is still better than Obsidian.
Wow. You have to be careful when you give a bad answer on this show.
No, you, especially if you're not on very often, they stick around. So... Trey Cool needs to get out of my head because I know he's not it because he's from Green Day.
A-Rock and Z-Pat.
ZZ Top. A-Rock and Trey Cool, even though I know Trey Cool is definitely not the right answer. But that's what we got.
I said Ad-Rock and MCA.
All right. Your correct answers are Ad-Rock, MCA, Mike D.
Mike D.
Mike D. Okay.
Ad-Rock is Ad-Rock Adam Yauch. Because yes. Adam Yauch is the guy's name that I could remember.
Yeah.
He's the one who died a little while back.
He died in 2012.
I can remember, like, in the early days, they'd say their names on every song, right? Mm. And I remember, MCA! They say it just like that. I couldn't remember. But after you say Mike, it's like, and yo, it's me, Mike D.
Yeah.
And now it rings a bell really well.
All right. Your last question before the final question is in sports.
All right.
Where did Roger Staubach play college football?
Okay. Could there be a more not in my wheelhouse kind of question?
I'm locked in.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I would say I don't think it's going to be an SEC school or any of the current powerhouses or anything like that. I think it's going to be something a little more classic.
When did he play NFL? Like, do you remember when he started in the NFL?
Before I started following the NFL in the 80s, for sure.
Okay, so that's helpful.
It's early. It's early.
So it wouldn't be like an LSU or anything like that.
Wait a minute. No, I don't. I'm pretty sure it's not an LSU. It's not an SEC school. Not a LSU. The only SEC school that it could have been was Alabama. But I could be wrong. But for some reason, I think he's from Texas.
So. Texas schools.
Yeah.
Rice University, but I don't think they're known for their football.
No, and it might be as simple as Texas.
Like the University of Texas?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm thinking of, like, you know, where college football is big, so Alabama and LSU, but you don't think it's the SEC.
If it was any school, it'd be Alabama. Alabama's been a powerhouse for a very, very, very long time.
Right. So University of Texas?
Yeah, I'm going with Texas. That's the best I've got.
University of Texas.
I said Navy.
The correct answer is the United States Naval Academy.
Wow. Oh, well then.
Okay.
You were right. It wasn't an SEC school.
Yeah.
Definitely not an SEC
school. But I wasn't thinking Army Navy. Mm.
I remember watching an old interview of him, and they were talking about comparisons between him and Joe Namath because they were in the same era. And, you know, Joe Namath was the playboy, and Staubach, I think he married his high school sweetheart or something like that. And he was quoted as saying, I love sex just as much as Joe Namath does. I just do it with one woman.
Staubach was the quarterback of the 70s championship Cowboys.
That's why I was thinking Texas.
You were thinking Texas.
All right. Well, going into the final round, Jonathan has 140. Carmella and Bob have 110.
Oof, rough round.
Yeah, that round was very, very good for him.
All right. Your final question category is the Civil War.
All right. We have our wager locked in.
I have my wager locked in.
All right. One more shout out for you. This particular question was submitted by TWA member Steve Anderson.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Also mistakenly known on a previous episode as Steve A-Train Anderson.
Steve, you have a new nickname, my friend.
That's right. You are now known as the A-Train.
You are the A-Train.
All right. Here's your question. Put these following Civil War battles in order from most casualties, which is killed and wounded, to least casualties.
I predicted the question. That's exactly what I thought you were going to ask.
All right.
Awesome, I guess.
Makes me feel good about myself.
For him. So here are your battles. The Battle of Gettysburg.
I bet I can even guess which battles are on this list.
The Battle of Chickamauga. The Battle of Antietam.
I bet you the next one is Shiloh.
The next one is the Battle of Shiloh. Put them in order from the most casualties to least casualties.
Included in this thing is, I guarantee, the most bloody battle or most casualties in the Civil War is in this list. The most casualties in a 2-day battle is in this list. And the most single day casualties is in this list. But some might, that doesn't help me put them in order at all. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Now, I assume this is casualties both sides.
Yeah. Yes, most casualties both sides.
Okay.
I'm locked in.
Okay.
I'm also Batman. I think this movie should be what we watch.
Alfred. Alfred. Like, what is going on?
Okay, so we know that Gettysburg and Antietam are going to be high.
I think Chickamauga might be a longer battle, maybe even a siege or something like that. But okay. I think it might be something longer rather than something short.
So something longer, which means it has the potential for more casualties. But, I mean, Gettysburg was a turning point in the war. If it's not number one, it's got to be close.
I would assume it's close. It's also a three-day battle.
Right.
Which I know for sure. And of course, Lincoln went there not because it was a heavy casualty battle, but because it was a very significant win for the Union Army.
Right. Where do you think Shiloh fits in?
I think it's high. That's
so far, you've said all of them are high.
Well, they are. I know. They're all going to be high. Because, I mean, but you even said that it's probably the most casualties in a single day, most casualties in a multi-day battle, you know?
My initial thought was Shiloh was going to be number one.
Okay.
That could be wrong. Because my initial thought was Shiloh 1, Gettysburg 2, Chickamauga 3, Antietam 4. And I could have that completely wrong.
Well, like I said, I'm pretty sure, if Gettysburg was not number 1, I would want it as number 2. But actually, this order sounds pretty okay to me. You think Shiloh had more casualties?
If it's the battle I'm thinking of, then yes.
Okay.
What scares me is I think I could have Shiloh and Antietam backwards.
Where you have Antietam as number 1 and Shiloh number 4?
Yes.
Okay.
So I could be that wrong.
Well, when we first started talking, I said I know that these two are probably high, and I had marked off Gettysburg and Antietam. So could it be Antietam, Gettysburg, Chickamauga, and then Shiloh?
It could be.
Because, I mean, the first thing that you think of for Antietam and Gettysburg, like, wow, a lot of people died during those battles.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay doing Antietam first and Shiloh last.
Okay. So we're going to say Antietam, Gettysburg, Chickamauga, and then Shiloh.
All right.
I'm glad you switched. I feel better about you guys missing it based on that. Because I know Antietam is the single bloodiest day of the Civil War, but it's a single day.
Right.
And so I'm pretty sure it's not at the top. I agree with what you said at the very beginning. I believe Chickamauga was like a week long.
Right.
And I put it number one. I put Gettysburg number two, Shiloh number three, and Antietam number four. I believe Shiloh's the bloodiest two-day battle or bloody 2 days. I feel like if I'm wrong, I could see it being Chickamauga, Shiloh, Gettysburg, Antietam, or even Gettysburg last. Because that would be just tricky enough to make everybody mess up, right?
Right.
But I went with Chickamauga, Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam in that order.
All right. So in reverse order, 22,000 casualties, Battle of Antietam. Third, at 23,000 casualties, the Battle of Shiloh. Second, at 34,000 casualties.
Wow, these are close.
Is Battle of Chickamauga.
Oh!
And at over 50,000 casualties is Gettysburg.
Gettysburg's number one.
You were really close.
Wow, man. I really thought Chickamauga, because I remember hearing that Chickamauga was a very high casualty and being shocked that it's never named when you name the big battles.
It's not one I've really ever heard of, you know.
That's when I learned that it was a multi-day battle. I think it's in Georgia. Isn't Chickamauga in Georgia? Chickasaw in Georgia?
Chickasaw's in Alabama.
Where's Chickamauga?
It's in Georgia. It's a city in Georgia.
There we go.
You got it.
Man, I tell you what, that was... I wanted to get that right, but...
You were really close.
I wagered 30, so I finished with 110. What did you wager?
We wagered 41.
So you finished with 59? No, 69. 69, dude! Every time.
Up top. Right.
Final score, 110 to 69. Jonathan takes it home. All right. Good job, guys. Good game.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
I was glad. Like you said, I'm getting really nervous with betting zero lately. I may have to totally change up my strategies overall. I'm getting too predictable.
You are getting really predictable. Everybody's like, oh, Jonathan's going to bet zero.
All right. Well, we want to give a shout out to our Warhead of the Week this week. Our Warhead of the Week is Aria Gerson. Thank you, Aria. We appreciate you listening. Now, Aria is a former Jeopardy player. In fact, Aria was in the kids tournament one year.
Oh, nice. Oh wow.
I don't think it was a teen tournament. I think it was the kids tournament. So Aria, we appreciate you. She was actually introduced to the show by Lita George, who was on a recent episode not too long ago.
Oh, okay. Cool. So she's a llama.
She is. So Aria, we appreciate you. Thank you for being a warhead. You are our warhead of the week. And we need to read some reviews.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
Best part of the show.
I know. Tell you what, man. Go read reviews if you're ever feeling down.
I do all the time.
All right. So the first review we're going to read today is by Brendan Crowley 8. Brendan says, I drive all day, every day for work, and I've been looking for a podcast that not only keeps me entertained, but also stimulates my brain. And this has been my best find so far. Love the witty banter and the wide variety of questions. Side note, I can't get the image of Dr. Reed from Criminal Minds out of my head whenever Chris talks. You know, it's funny. Lots of people, Chris is the only one we ever hear from where people say he reminds me of such and such person.
Yeah, but Amanda thinks he sounds like Will Wheaton.
I get a lot of Owen Wilson when it comes to Chris.
Was he in Cars?
Maybe Chris was in Cars.
Maybe he was.
That's what people tell me. So anyway, Chris gets a lot of people saying he sounds like people. The rest of us don't.
We're unique.
Oh, sorry, Chris. She just busted on you again.
Chris knows I love him to death.
Thank you, Brendan. We also have a review by Threest1TCH.
All right.
3ST1TCH says, found this podcast while trying to find something new to listen to for long drives and during the workday. Heard one episode and was hooked. I then felt compelled to start all the way from the beginning. I haven't been able to stop listening. Y'all rock.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wow.
That name is probably 3Stitch.
3Stitch?
They just use a 1 instead of an I.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm such a...
It's one of those weird iTunes names.
I'm so dumb. All right, and we have a most entertaining pub trivia experience for your ears review by Lord Wilson. Lord Wilson says, I love to learn. I love to be entertained. This is a perfect fit. I tried a couple of other trivia-related podcasts until I found this gem. These guys and gal are the perfect type of smart. Self-deprecating intellects with an amazing sense of humor, topped off with the perfect amount of pop culture knowledge. I'm very quickly making my way through the past episodes, and it will be a sad day when I run out. Keep it up, guys.
Thank you very much.
And he says, I really appreciate all the work you put into the questions. So that's a particular compliment for all of our folks who do the hosting. Good job,
thank
guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
And the last one I'm going to read today, Tim Stats says, outstanding trivia podcast. These guys write good questions, provide great context to answers. They're funny without overdoing it. And their focus is unique to trivia podcasts in that I have found they are actually asking trivia questions. It's great. I love it. And now I even donate to them to make sure they can keep it going. It's a must listen. And at my own weekly pub quiz, I've already nailed a couple of tough questions no one on my team knew because I listened to this. Keep up the great work.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Love that.
I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk a little bit about new Patreon promotions. So we only have one new TWA promotion this week. Eddie Barker is a new major at $25 a month. Thank you, Eddie, my man. I am looking forward to having you on the show at some point in the not too distant future. We were chatting over email. Eddie is up in Charleston, South Carolina, not very far away at all. So, Eddie, we really appreciate you, man. In his email to me, Eddie actually asks a trivia question. He said, what CBS 1970s game show features a theme song written by a future Academy Award winner? I had absolutely no idea what the answer was. I'm not really a TV guy. But he provided that the theme was Chump Change, written by none other than Quincy Jones. And it was also used on the new Bill Cosby show in the 70s. An awesome piece of trivia. Anyway, Eddie, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for signing up. And if anyone else is interested in signing up to support us, you can do that at patreon.com/TWA. Okay, before we get out of here, if you want to get in touch with me, you can do so by writing to trivialwarfare@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with Carmela, she's at twafirstlady@gmail.com. You have Chris at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And Ben, you don't have anything.
Not yet.
Loser.
So if you need
forthcoming.
So yeah, for now, just send it to twafirstlady@gmail.com and Carmela will forward it to me.
Yes.
There you go. By the way, we were giving out these email addresses for you guys who send questions and whatnot. But if you're not on the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group, awesome place to be. Please like our Facebook page if you just do Trivial Warfare. And you can also follow us on Twitter @Trivial Warfare.
Cool.
So that's everything. That's all the different ways to get in touch with us.
Sweet.
Until next time, that's Ben, that's Carmela, that's Bob, and I'm Jonathan. And this has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. Find help with your podcast at joelsharpton.com.
They just cross-pollinated in the last episode, as a matter of fact.
Speaking of bees.
Yeah, we I don't want to hear...
Is that what that is on this table?
No, that's beetle nut.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to hear any kind of Team Bob nonsense out of you either.
Team Bob.
No.
And by the way, what you see there is Cambodian breast milk. We just laid down like 5 inside jokes for about 20 minutes ago that Bob didn't even hear.
Wow.
It was in our last episode.
Wow. That was well done, though.